After much careful deliberation and some pretty studious examination of the materials at hand, at least in Matthew's gospel, the source document, some original documents like the Greek New Testament, some of the things that I've been able to look at and study carefully, I want to announce to you today that there will be no talk of dead bodies up and walking around today. I'm sorry if that disappoints you. Maybe you come to church on Easter Sunday expecting to hear that the dead have been raised. There will be talk of resurrection. There will be the assurance and the promise of new life beyond the grave. But I'm only going with the material I have here, and I have to tell you, there will be no dead people walking today. That's good news for me because I hate to check my brain at the door when I come to church. I don't know how you feel about that. You know, and to have to suspend my 21st century knowledge of the world and science and anatomy and biology. And I know, and you know, dead people don't walk. They don't get up and walk. Except in movies. This ain't a movie. This is church. This is faith. That's one of my struggles as I come to Easter Sunday, and that's probably why one of the words in the sermon title is magic. Because I don't believe in magic, really, so much. So what do I believe? Well, I want to walk you through this story carefully as it is written and see where the promise of resurrection is. I think it's actually more powerful to us than dead people walking. I mean, that's a nice trick. That's a good parlor trick, quite frankly. But there's more to Jesus and our Easter faith than dead people walking. I want to read this, and I want you to sort of imagine that we're staging a play, that we're going to take these events, in this, you know, there's only about 10 verses here. This is all we have to work with. This is our script. These are our stage instructions. This is how we're going to block it and move it, and people are going to come here and move there. These are the characters. This is the dialogue, okay? So here we go. It's the first day of the week as the day was dawning. So the setting is dark, would it be fair to say? Kind of dark. The sun might be on its way. It's way earlier than it is right now. So the sun is not yet up, but there's some light. It's beginning maybe gray of the early dawn. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. So we have our two first actors, our main actors. They're people on the scene. And when I say people, I mean women. And for you and I, we may think that women are people. Do we think that? Yeah. In the New Testament, not so much, quite frankly. Right? There was a whole hierarchy of what it meant to be human. And women were down here somewhere, and men were up here, and Roman men were even up here, right? And then you were just ranked according to stature. And women, I don't care who you were always somewhere less than human. So that's telling about our Easter story, right? That the first characters on the stage are women. And they have names like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Who's the other Mary? Pardon? Maybe the mother of Jesus? Yep, could be. Two Marys. And suddenly, and so far our scene is there are people on the scene, but there is no talking and there's no sound. It's basically a quiet, dark scene, two women. And now enter the sound effects. There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And like I was saying with the kids, yeah, they thought that was that. But I just think that's a little bit of comic theater right there. We have this supernatural being appears on the scene. There's great sound effects. There's thunder. There's earthquake. Whatever it takes, the stone is rolled away. The angel sits on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. So now we have a little pyrotechnics going on, some lighting effect, maybe some lasers, but there's lighting. Notice what we don't have yet is dialogue, right? Nothing has been said. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. We didn't even know there were guards. Now we have to account. Okay, there are guards. So there were women, and maybe they came to the tomb, and maybe over here on the side, maybe they were on so much to the stage left over here that they were in the dark. They hadn't been lighted yet, so we didn't know where they were at. Now we know they're there. They don't get names. We don't know anything about them or their story. What we know is, and actually, before we get them, we get their fear. Fear is a major actor in today's scene. Fear, for fear of him, they shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, finally, we get some dialogue. Somebody's going to say something. Anybody want to guess what the first words are? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said. He has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. The angel adds three words there, by the way. Do you notice that? The first time he tells the women, he has been raised. The second time when he tells them to go tell the disciples, he adds three little words, from the dead. I point that out because I have a footnote on mine. It says, other ancient authorities lack from the dead. I got to close the book for a minute. Why would some ancient authorities lack the words from the dead? And why did the angel say to the women at first, he has been raised, not from the dead, just he has been raised? And why did somebody come along later and doctor this up and put the three words from the dead in there? I just think maybe they didn't really care whether they were talking about dead people walking around or not. There's more at stake here than death. There's worse things than dying, as people will sometimes say to you, right? There are worse things than death. These guys over here, these guards in the dark, shaking, becoming like dead men for fear. That line in the story reminds me that fear and death are kind of the same. In this story. You ever notice that? Fear and death. You always thought it was death and taxes? No. It's death and fear. Those are the two things that are constant in human history. Take that for a moment. Fear and death. And then add to that, by the way, the fact that probably 90% of the things we are afraid of are about death. So it's really, it's death and it's fear of death. There are other fears beneath the surface, and once you sort of scrape them, you can sort of start. But the real thing here that strikes me is that for fear of him, they shook and became like dead men, tells me that death and fear are kind of the same thing. And I think that maybe the way the gospel story was told originally, without those three words, from the dead, leaves room for us to have something else there, that Jesus was raised. I'm not saying he wasn't dead, and I'm not saying that death is not where we're at in the tomb. It would be silly to say that when you're in the tomb, that death is not present. But I think as people of faith, as Easter people, the real promise for us is that we are raised from fear. If it's only about being raised from the dead, then that's only good for us on one occasion, We only die once that I know of. But we're afraid all the time. So if the resurrection is not so much from the dead, but from the things that kill us every day, top of the list being fear, that's good news. That's something to get excited about. There is fear, and then there is fear. There's a lot of action going on our stage now. The women are moving. The angel has spoken, given directions, lots of verbs, you know, go and tell and come and see, and, you know, just lots of action going on right here. So they left the tomb quickly with what? With fear and great joy. They've got a distinct advantage over the dead guys over here in the corner, the soldiers who were shook and became like dead men, because they've got the shot of joy that keeps them going. There's still fear. I like that this story is not Pollyanna, and it's that, well, we're just going to wipe out all fear. We're going to still live with fear, but we have some joy and some faith that's going to propel us into the world where we need to go to live and be and have our being. So they left with fear and great joy to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them and said, hey, y'all. Actually, it says greetings, and this is where I had to go to the Greek and see what word do they translate. It just says greetings. Doesn't that sound kind of formal? Salutations. Hello. Aloha. Shalom. Huh? Ave. What's up? The word is kariete or something like that. It looks like karate. It's not karate. It's an X. It's a chi. And it's the word grace, charis. Grace to you, he says. And they fall at his feet. They grab his feet. They worship him, it says. Interesting response. It's kind of what we do. We worship. When in doubt, pray, bow, sing, be silent, be humble. And then Jesus says, so his first greeting, his first spoken word is a greeting. His first message is, do not be afraid. Just like the angel, it's echoed. It's almost like if we had to go back and put a title on our play, it would be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. He doesn't say, hey, I used to be dead and now I'm alive, does he? That would be kind of professor of the obvious kind of thing. He doesn't have to. They see him. They experience his presence. They live with fear and great joy, and they know that he has been raised from the dead, from fear. So I think about fear. So the other two words in the title of the sermon are about love and fear. Somebody once told me, really, the only two things in life are love and fear. That's a little reductionist, but I think it's probably true. When I think about my own life, every action I take boils down to one of these two things. I'm either acting out of fear or I'm acting out of love. You think that's true? And I think for me, the promise of today's Easter message, the promise of resurrection, is that fear has been reduced to an irrelevancy. It doesn't matter anymore. I need not be afraid. If it were magic, I would say, I will never be afraid. It's been taken care of, like a wand. It's just weird. But I know I don't believe in magic. I know that every day there will be fear and there will be love. But for me, the invitation is to live in the love And as I read the story in Matthew's gospel, having trudged our way week by week through the Sermon on the Mount, I know a thing about love, don't I? You do too, don't you? It's not easy. It's hard. It's challenging. It's radical. Forgiveness rather than retaliation. Right? Turning the other cheek. Acceptance. Radical love is always an option. And in my own experience, when I act out of fear, nothing good happens. Does that stop me from doing it? Probably not. You're probably right. I still do it. Fear makes me put on this small thinking cap. The world gets smaller when I'm acting in fear. My options are limited. Lots of bad things are out there that are going to get me. When I act in love, I put on this big, expansive mind. All things are possible. I can do all things. Nothing will separate me from God. And all of a sudden, my world is big and expansive, and God's love is out there and can do it. So that's the promise of resurrection for me today, that I can walk not in fear, but in love. Thanks be to God who raised Jesus from the fear that used to keep him in the dark.